3 weeks of women's interpros, the World Cup warm-ups, and a World Cup squad. Lots to talk about as the Second Row podcast returns. Hello and welcome to the Second Row podcast. My name is Park Kelly and you will find me everywhere on social media. Facebook, Instagram, X and TikTok at the Second Row. That is 2ND, not the word second. And you can subscribe to this podcast literally everywhere you can get your podcast. So don't forget to hit subscribe as you're listening to me now. Yes, it has been a long time since I've recorded anything. And I will start back straight away. Let's stop with the fussing and get started with the women. The Connacht women are in a third place playoff next week against Ulster. And they have had three incredible games to get here. They only fell to third place in the table due to bonus points. A first week win against Leinster, which was incredible. Watch those highlights back again. Nicole Fowley steered the team around the pitch with some incredible kicking. Evie Riley was impeccable almost at scrum half. Her passing was bullet-like. Just really gave good, fast ball, which let Connacht play with a tempo that you could really say across the 3 weeks that they've been trying to do. I actually don't know why she was missing for the next two games, but it's such a shame because I think with what we're trying to do, that would have really helped. Just her delivery of pass, how accuracy and her power, it just gets away from the ruck really, really well. And a big thing from that Leinster match, as I'll just go through, as I'll go through them in order, and a big thing from that Leinster match was that defensive effort. I think Shannon Toohey really epitomised that at times. She just tackles through people, gets him to ground. The work rate across the squad to keep in the fight across in what was a very tight game, I think it really unsettled Leinster. They were coming to Galway that weekend thinking, well, maybe not thinking they'd get an easy win, but they definitely didn't think they'd have to fight as much for that game. And you definitely saw that reflected in their performances against Ulster and Munster since then. Week two, Connacht headed down to Munster and it was a 46-7 loss down in Musgrave Park, and that scoreline really did not reflect the game that was there. Connacht attacked with real intent. Once again, Nicole Fowley just prodding us around the pitch, but we came up against a juggernaut of a team in Munster who were clinical, were patient, and knew how to take their chances and capitalize on any hint of a mistake from Connacht. It's those small things that were the difference. And you could see sometimes those touches of quality that, not that we're missing, that we haven't developed yet. And you can see what we're trying to do and while we're forcing things. Someone who does seem to have a bright future, great on ball, is Faith Avave. She was very impressive against Munster, but that lack of game time at this level showed at times. There was an offload or two loose, and it's those moments when you're looking at her coming up against someone like Dervla Nicavord, who's just able to make something happen out of nothing or off a scrap. And that was the difference. Now, the scoreline was massively different, but the performance level didn't justify that. It's just the patience in attack and that clinical edge that we really were missing there. And it kind of is the story of this team. Something brewing, but not really able to get over the line when those opportunities came. So I'll have a bit more of an in-depth look at Ulster, as that's literally the game that just passed. Connacht back in Galway and needing a win to have a chance of getting into the final of the Interpros next week. And it looked like Ulster were the team who were playing for that opportunity. They came out with a really strong carrying game, used their maul very well when they had the opportunities, and they got those opportunities because Connacht just weren't able to live with that carrying earlier on. We painted really bad pictures to the ref. We were pinged at the breakdown a lot for not rolling away, and Ulster marched up the pitch in what was a horrendous wind. Like, they weren't kicking that ball, but literally we were giving them tap and go opportunities almost every couple of minutes. We even got a yellow card for our troubles. That's how much pressure Ulster are putting us under in that first half, to the point where they are 17-14 up at half time. Like, they really did deserve that, but playing into that wind, they really shouldn't have been there. Then you're fast forward to a blitz at the beginning of that second half. Ava Ryder on the wing, Sean here, herself and McGonagall with just blistering pace, really caused Ulster trouble. And it wasn't just their pace. It was the ability to stay alive after contacts, keep looking for work. And between Nicole Fowley and Maeve Dealey, kind of just threading the ball between them and creating space and being double playmakers, it really let the back three, really get into it and really run Ulster silly. Like, there, some of the scores were incredible. Ryder got player of the match, and like you say, two tries, yeah, obviously player of the match, but some of her defensive efforts were huge. A try saving tackle which forced a knock on midway through the second half was just incredible. But what Connacht need to do going forward, and the pity is this team won't have the opportunities to do it, is get that composure on the try line together, get that consistency in attack where they're constantly just, they're not overly bunched, their spacing's right, and they're just not getting that white line fever. Those things come from playing games together, and this group might not play again for another 12 months. It's after next week, and it's a bit of a shame because you can see that there's a really good team there that's can put together really good performances. And there's been some odd changes, in my opinion, with, say, for example, Shannon Toohey starting at 12 one week, then in the back row the next week, and in the centre again the week after. Those type of changes, to me, feel like you don't know your best 15/23, and you don't know your players' best positions, or you're trying to get your best players on the pitch all at the same time, and you don't really know how else to do that. Now, getting good players on the pitch is always good. You know, that's what everyone wants. But I think structurally, this group need a bit more focus and a bit more patience in themselves. I'm pretty sure I've said that already. But like, it's just, they have a line break and it's just, they just screen. You can see they want to screen try. It's one offload too many. Like, against Ulster on the weekend, they great offloading and contact, but it's almost like the third or fourth one they could just take into contact, set up a line and sit back into shape. They get ragged a bit too quickly. And I think that's, they're small things that you can fix when you have the ability to have proper pre-seasons and lots more game time. And those opportunities won't be afforded now because you have the WXCV coming up and the AIL League. So next week, it's Ulster again in that third, fourth playoff. And it's going to be a very, very niggly game, I think. The two teams are really starting to get under each other's skins by the end of the match. The Ulster scrum got negated after a while. I think that was more due to her injury. And if Ulster can get their maul going and their scrum on top, I think Connacht will have a harder time. The Connacht scrum will need to be better, getting the ball in and out on their own put in. That was a big issue against Munster. They were getting wheeled backwards at a rate of knots. So it's small technical things that they'll need to get better at. They have the ability to get better than they've improved pretty much every game. But I think if they have a big leap in improvement for next week, I also don't have the strings to attack that Connacht have. We have more ways to go pick through Ulster, and that'll be the difference. And having that near 80-minute performance, which they want, which they're talking about when they're giving their interviews about the games. So if those couple of things are fixed, I think a third place playoff, third place in the women's Interpros is something that they can be proud of after beating Leinster at home and beating Ulster at home and then beating them again down Musgrave Park. Short of a few bonus points, we just got unlucky. They got unlucky that Leinster beat Munster in the Energia Park on the weekend to set up that semi-final for themselves. Like, both Leinster and Munster finished on 11 points. Connacht finished on 9, and it was bonus points in the end that was the big decider. And if it wasn't bonus points, it was definitely going to be points difference. So a lot to look forward to next week. There's going to be some incredible rugby down Musgrave Park, a doubleheader. So if you're a club in Connacht and you want something to inspire your girls' teams, get a bus. Head down to Musgrave Park in Cork. I know it's a bit of a journey, but give Connacht that support and let's turn that into a bit of a home game for them. Right, we'll move on to the World Cup warm-ups. Three weekends of rugby, three wins, two more convincing than the others. We'll just go through the results and I'll focus on the Samoa match mainly because the others are so far in the rear window now at this stage. And Ireland beating Italy, handily enough really, I have to say, it's very much the pre-season vibes across that game. You're talking a few players on the second string looking to push their way in to the squad by the looks of things that didn't happen. Obviously, I'm going to get to the team. I'll get to the World Cup squad by the end, at the end of this, don't worry. And then we had that incredible game against England for, I think, all the wrong reasons, if you're an English fan anyway. Ireland, 29-10 win, just looked so comfortable, even in their rustiness. Lovely shape. Like, Ireland has just such a lovely shape. Waves of attack, people just filling in at will. And England have absolutely, I don't know what England are trying to do. Like, I actually would challenge someone to find what England are trying to do in attack and explain it, because I really can't see it. And I it's just kind of shocking. It does throw open that side off the World Cup, England being so poor. But it's just odd to see. Like, Ireland took England apart fairly easily and didn't need to get out of third gear. It was interesting to say the least. And then last night, as we're watching Ireland v Samoa. Now, that was a weird old evening. 17-13. In absolute torrential conditions in Bayonne. Just brutal. Like, that is Galway on its worst day, minus the wind to levels of rain. It was bad. I think everyone needs to remember, when you can see rain on camera, you know it's bad. That's because rain doesn't show up most of the time. So it has to be super heavy for that rain to come up. And that was a really, 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 really heavy, wet, rainy day. Now, caveat aside, Irish players should be used to playing the rain. And it was very much a great equaliser. It was an ugly performance. No shadow of a doubt about that. But grinding out the win, that's something you can take forward going into a World Cup. Not playing well and getting over the line. Especially in conditions like that. Especially when the breakdown was a bit of a mess, really. It's the only way I can describe it. I don't think either team tried to stay on their feet or tried to compete legally. So it's quite obvious there could be no real rhythm in the game when in those conditions. Across the 80, Crowley played well in that first half. For me, his decision-making of when to take the ball to the line, when to pass, when to kick, just needs to improve a small bit. But when he takes the ball to the line, he does it with such energy and force that it does draw on defenders and creates that space. But every now and again, especially in the wet and especially against a team, you want to just kind of pin back and don't let them get life by, you don't want to give them energy by letting them have those big hits. Pinning them back and keeping them in their own half with good kicks might have been a bit more required, especially early on in the game. Baird showed that he is an incredible athlete. He's that quintessential 4-6, that second row, back row. He's athletic. He can move around the pitch. He's a great guy to have on your team. I have to say that for him. And his first half was very, very good. But we're grading on a curve here. Like, he's very good compared to everyone else on the team. No one played well in that first half. And I think Tom Stewart will, for want of a term, that's a night he'll want to forget, his first start. the lineup malfunctioning around him. Like, that's not solely down to him. The calls were wrong. The timing of the lifts were wrong. Just the lineup didn't work. And I think sometimes I'd say he as the thrower is kind of like going to bring a lot of that on himself. That wasn't on him. That being said, the introduction of the subs in the second half made a huge difference, especially in the lineout and the scrum. Herring, I think he's like the forgotten man off this Irish squad. Like, he's such a dependable hooker and he's such a good hooker. Like, at the jobs of being a hooker, his throwing is always good. His scrum work is always impeccable. And he's an asset to this Irish team. He has been that second and third number two for such a long time. And it's only an injury that's kept him out. Then Ryan and Peter Mahoney brought this energy. And you could see Ryan in the malls especially just making an absolute nuisance of himself to get that maul moving forward. And that's how we got over the line. Like, being 10-7 down at half time was not on the script. And then going 13-10 down again. You know, it wasn't a game. That wasn't how that game was meant to play out. And I don't know. You kind of have to go, how much does the team announcement less than 24 hours play into that performance? It looked very nervy. And playing cautiously isn't a term you'd use to describe that Irish team. Look at the try that Jimmy O'Brien got in the first half. It was a great, a gorgeous crossfield kick. Matt Canson brings it in, offloads, and try. That's not a team playing cautiously. But after that, we seem to almost go into our shell a small bit. And giving any team that bit of life, that bit of a sniff of something might be on, is where their defensive hits get bigger. Their double tackles were always driving us back. We weren't making meters in contact. And the energy dipped. And then you're in the wet. And everything saps. And everything gets harder. And you're just looking at the clock going, can this game be over? You're seeing the injuries crop up. Healy, we'll talk about again in a few minutes. You're seeing Robbie Henshaw getting strapped on the pitch and not being taken off. People with knocks starting to kind of creep up. And you're like, this is not good a few weeks before the World Cup starts. It's not the type of performance. You're thinking only two of the guys that played aren't on the plane to the World Cup. And how worried is Andy Farrell? Like, he doesn't ever seem worried, God bless him. But, you know, how worried are you as a coach kind of going, these guys have to carry some of the matches? Like, I'm sure the addition of Johnny Sexton now for some of those, for the Romania game now, will be something that will kind of boost the team and bring them along and really throw and really get them going. Because I think having him back for that game, I think he needs to play that game, will be very, very important. Like, looking to Tonga, South Africa, Scotland, mixing teams for Tonga and Scotland and Romania, I think we're going all out for South Africa. But you're kind of needing that performance level to rise that bit more across that squad of players, especially that kind of down the depth charts squad of players. Now, let's talk World Cup. A 33-man squad was named. And I will call it out just in case you haven't heard it, just in case you haven't seen the pictures. It is Ryan Baird, Finlay Beelam, Tadhg Byrne, Jack Conan, Caelan Doris, Tadhg Furlong, Ian Henderson, Rob Herring, Ronan Kelleher, David Kilcoyne, Jeremy Loughlin, Joe McCarthy, Peter O'Mahony, Tom O'Toole, Andrew Porter, James Ryan, Dan Sheehan, Josh Van de Vlaeger. Then in the backs, it's Bundiaki, Ross Byrne, Craig Casey, Jack Cowley, Keith Earls, Gibson Park, Mac Hansen, Robbie Henshaw, Hugh Keenan, James Lowe, Stuart McCluskey, Connor Murray, Jimmy O'Brien, Gary Ringrose, and Johnny Sexton as captain. Now, there are some talking points across that. I think the main ones are the knocks and game fitness of, say, Kelleher, Sheehan, Conan, Kilcoyne, Loughton Earls and Sexton to a lesser extent. He hasn't played in so long. But the worries about their fitness going into that is something that is definitely on my mind looking at that group of 33 players. It's especially at hooker, having two of them carrying a knock going forward into the first game is a bit of a worry. Kilcoyne apparently is fit. Farrell said that today in the press conference. So maybe that's something I don't need to worry about. But Earl's having a knock pre-match against Samoa. You know, it's those small things that when you're kind of looking at six, if not seven players aren't really fitness levels that you'd want going into World Cup. I think the draw helps us in that sense that we have Romania and Tonga first. I think that's helpful. Then you have South Africa, 2 week break to Scotland. It does help get the player management right. That's something that is going to be very important, because I think this is a squad that can really challenge at this World Cup. Like, this got a chance. It has a real chance to challenge at this World Cup. My heart goes out to Keane Healy. To see him go off against Samoa, you almost knew there and then that the possibility of a World Cup for him, the possibility of playing this World Cup was over. He was guaranteed to be on that team sheet. He was guaranteed to be in most 23s. And he will be a loss on the pitch. He'll be a loss off the pitch. He, as one of the elder statesmen of a squad, it's guys like him you need in World Cup time. It's experience that wins your World Cups, not youth, not energy. You know, it's knowing how to win games. And he's been there, won pretty much everything he can win apart from a World Cup. And to lose this opportunity to a knock in a preseason friendly in the most cursed place that is Bayonne for Irish rugby is just a sickener. And my heart just goes out to him. It just feels unfair. You know, people giving out about players missing games due to their own actions by being banned for red cards. Like, feck off. You know, like, guys are getting injured in innocuous incidents. Look at Roman Entomac and Healy. That's the stuff that breaks my heart. Not people tackling high or being idiots before World Cup, you know? Now, with my little rant over, we'll look at kind of the makeup of the team, that squad. And to be honest, that 33, I don't think there's many calls that we didn't expect. I think there's two really that stand out in my mind, depending on who you support, I suppose. And the first one is Stockdale v Earls. Earls getting in over Stockdale. I think Earls just plays the Irish system so much better than Stockdale does. Watching that Samoa match and kind of going, Jesus, Stockdale, you haven't heard Stockdale's name. He's not getting on the ball. And he doesn't look for work the same way that a Lowe or a Hansen does or Earls do. But when he does, he more than likely brings it into contact. Now, don't get me wrong, it was great to see his standard chip over the top for Murray's try. But I just think sometimes the ball goes to deck with him a bit too much. He doesn't create space. And I think Earls, one, has the ability to be a better distributor than Stockdale. And that's what puts him there. But also, obviously, that versatility of being able to step in to other positions if need be. Then the other one for me was McCluskey versus Prendergast. And that literally comes down to how many forwards are you taking and how many backs are you taking. If we had gone for a 19-14 split, I think Prendergast is on that, in there. He's on that flight to France, 100%. No one will convince me otherwise. Today, tomorrow, the next day, for a week from now. If Andy Farrell and his team went, we want 19 forwards, Prendergast is on the plane. they've obviously said we want 15 backs for reasons X, Y, and Z. That's why McCluskey is there for me. Much like a lot of the Irish squads in the Six Nations and Prendergast being 24th man, in this scenario, he's a 34th man. And in a squad that is used to bringing, it's used to almost being a 38-man squad for competition. And it's just that, and he's one of the players that's missing out because of it. He showed against England after a few nerves, obviously, that he is able for that level of rugby. He's able for international rugby. He has the carrying. He definitely has the passing ability. And it's genuinely an 18-15 v 19-14 call. And you can tell that there's something in the Irish management that goes, it's going to be an attritional group phase. So having that extra back, almost having that extra inside centre is needed. And I can kind of see why. My heart, I can't, like, I'm gutted for Prendergast individually. I'm gutted as a person who's followed him for the last couple of years for Connacht. I'm gutted as someone who's seen him develop over the last couple of years. It feels like it's 12 months too soon for him in this squad of players. He's going to be a mainstay in that Irish team going forward. We will see him in 23s and the starting 15 for years to come, but this World Cup at this moment in time, it's just a bit too soon for him. One injury, he'll be the next person. An injury in the forwards, he is the next person on the plane, and he'll be keeping fit. He'll be ready to go. And I think if you're there scratching your head and thinking why, that's why. It's literally, am I taking a back or am I taking a forward? And what benefit do I see to that? For me, I think an extra forward have been a bit more beneficial, but I'm not a manager of an international rugby team and I'm not facing into a World Cup. So I get to easily say that from here, a million miles away from it all. I think over the course of a couple of weeks, though, when he's in the squad, I'm going to talk about Joe McCarthy. Just for me, I'm actually pleasantly surprised about Joe McCarthy. He has just brought this level of discipline that I wasn't expecting, and he's adding it to the physicality he has. He is just a huge figure of a man. And watching him play for Leinster, you're seeing him come on, giving away a penalty, or if not a penalty, advantages being played after he's done something. And you're just kind of going, ugh, and you worry. Well, I did anyway, when I saw him talk out for Ireland, and going, because international rugby penalties mean more. They really do. And the fact over the last couple of weeks we've seen him bring in that level of discipline, it does slightly take an edge off that fear I have about him as a player, because he is very young. And like I said earlier on, you don't win World Cups with youth. You win them with experience and people who know what they're doing. And like, even I think, is it there's something out there across the years that the average cap for a winning a World Cup is about 60. You know, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about guys who know the system that they're playing in. They know the guys around them like the back of their hand. And I think being from the Leinster system helps McCarthy, because he's around guys like Ryan and Sheehan and Keller, and those, especially in the scrum, and those technical points where he's used to scrummaging with Furlong and Porter. And it's all those bits that I understand why he's there. And I was a bit cautious about seeing him in Irish teams before he kind of really cemented a place in the Leinster team. But now that discipline seems to be fixed, him just chucking himself about like a mad yoke and picking lads up, and, you know, that's something that will really add to Ireland, that energy as a sub. I don't see him starting many games short of injury, but him coming on as a sub can bring a real tempo boost, as long as that discipline side of it keeps in check. Now, my three, Finley, Bundy, and Mac. Just how happy I am for those three cannot be understated. I can't say it. I can't put into words how happy I am for those three lads. Like, for all the crap Finley Beelam's taken over the years, then for the last 12 months to just show the world, one, his ability as a scrummager, that I think if you've watched Connacht long enough, you know he's had in spades. And two, then his ability around the park as a passer, as a tackler, as a jackler, all strings to his bow he's always had. And now he's getting that reward and he's getting the plaudits from people outside Connacht, and he has worked his ass off to get those plaudits now, and he's there on merit. He is easily, for my money, the second best tight head in Ireland at the moment. Like, Tom O'Toole's a very good player and he's going to put pressure on him, obviously, but it's great to see him get there and just play with that love and lightness that you can see in his personality. It's just brilliant for me to see. Bundy, if anyone was paying attention to the microphones and everything in Samoa, you could hear Bundy, the water boy, screaming and shouting at the defence to get up and work harder and work harder. And in offence, work harder, get up and recycle and recycle. Because he is the quintessential team guy. He's the guy you want on your side. He brings energy. He brings a love for his team that just screams out at everyone. You can see it when he's playing. He plays with his heart on his sleeve. He plays with passion. He's like, to have him, McCluskey, Robbie Henshaw, and Gary Ringrose as centre options, it's just, we're spoilt for choice, and there's genuine horses for courses selections he made out the four of them. And I think having Robbie, that ability to play 12 and 13 and have Bundy inside him, they, as you can tell, as they're so close as friends, they work so well together as a centre partnership. Then Bundy can come off, Robbie can step in, and Ringrose at 13. Their Leinster partnership is incredible. Then McCluskey, then he's in the last couple of months has shown he can step up to international quality. The amount of times I felt sorry for him just playing in Ireland at a time when you have such a wealth of riches at centre, has just taken him out of more appearances for Ireland. That's pretty much it. There's no bad players in, like, really in Ireland. You know, like, when you're talking about the guys that are in and around Ireland selection, you know, they're not bad players. It's just, is there someone slightly better than them or with a slightly different skill set ahead of them? And that's mainly what has kept them out of the team. It's mainly what's kept Stockdale out of this squad. You know, I think it's just people with different skill sets. It's not that Stockdale's hasn't quite recovered from his injury, but he's more your winger's winger, hard line running and a good finisher, you know. And if your team's built around that to create those chances for those type of players, great. But I don't think Ireland is built up for that type of play. And then because we look at Mac Hansen, the guy can literally do no wrong in my eyes. He plays with this joy. You can see he plays rugby with a joy. He has brought a life to every squad he seems to be a part of, and guys don't understand him, you know. And I get it, like, he's just mad, he's brilliant. But when you let him off, you let him do his thing, you get the best out of him. And having a system that lets him play a bit of 10, play a bit of 15, play a bit of wing, it just helps get the best out of those around him. I think it's actually helped Ross Byrne, when he's been at 10, the fact that we now have that multiple playmaker role where anyone can kind of step in at 10 and push someone out or push someone in. And we've got a bit more out of Ross Byrne as a 10 because of that. And which will be great in this World Cup, because those times we won't have Johnny Sexton, having other guys step in, and even when Johnny Sexton's playing, keeping him fresher, keeping him out of the thick action, which he likes to be in, is what's important. So yeah, look, I'll be back next week. This is weird talking to myself, I'm not going to lie. I will try and get better at it for sure. But drop me a line. I will talk about things you want me to. Ask me questions online. Get in touch with me on social media. I will be back next week. There's a women's third, fourth playoff game between Connacht and Ulster to talk about. So until then, good luck and thanks for listening.